This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
We're going to talk some football, not pie, right now with this man from CBS.
Well, Phil Simms is living in New Jersey for a long time. I'm sure he's got a couple of thoughts on really what good pizza is as opposed to not.
I got a feeling Phil has a lot of thoughts on a lot of things.
And we have time. We're going to let it breathe with Phil Simms here.
Indeed. It's time to talk to Phil Simms as he joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Phil, long time no speak. Thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, Chris, Nick, thank you for having me on. And I do know a lot about pizza, Italian food. I'm in the Mecca up here, and I don't care what anybody says. I've eaten it everywhere. The best pizza in the world is right here in New Jersey.
New Jersey, not Little Italy in New York, but New Jersey.
It's the water and the bagels.
There are so many good pizza places around here, and I don't eat a lot of pizza. I've got to that age. Oh, I don't know if I can eat all that, but... It's great. Every style you want. And I always tell people, I bring them out here and we have dinners, a couple of Italian restaurants that I love. And I go, yep. You don't even have to say it. I know it's better than anything you've ever had in New York City, but that's the way it goes. So,
all right.
So,
I have to tell you, we're the show of honesty here. For the last 2 days, I've got to stop saying the F word. We spoke for a while the other night, and boy, did I get into full Jersey mode at a certain point in our conversation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say me, because I can throw it around, too, when I'm off the record pretty easy. So.
No doubt.
Yeah, it was great. It was great talking to you. It was really good. And, of course, I'm glad to be on with you guys today.
Yeah. So tell us, when you heard Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons, like the actual this is happening, what were your thoughts?
My first thought was, without exaggeration, oh, my God, it's a home run. Okay. And, of course, I hope he's physically gets to where he wants to be as quick as possible to be even more ready. But, you know, the fact that it's Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson, I think Raheem knows Kirk Cousins, what Kirk Cousins has done and what he can do for a football team. He's been, you know, he's been underrated, I think, so much. Well, he hasn't won in prime time, and I hear all these things. Okay, well, we can do that about a lot of quarterbacks. All I know is he's tough. He can really throw the football. He's accurate as hell. And he can stand in the pocket and take that beating. And it's going to change this, how Atlanta Falcons look, of course, no doubt. And I think it was just a great pickup for them.
And, Phil, you know this as a quarterback. It's off the field as well, working with these guys and being the leader for these guys that maybe they haven't had on this roster the past couple of years at that position.
Well, listen, that's a good point. You know, you got to play well sometimes or play to a certain level to be a leader on a team. You know, if you're not playing well, you can't be giving orders or acting like you're the man sometimes, because the players are looking at you going, hey, if you start playing better, then we might win more games. But, yeah, I think Kirk Cousins, his knowledge is, which I think is going to be, he's going to know this offense inside out. You take Zach Robinson from the Rams and what they kind of do, and then you mix it in with what Kevin O'Connell was doing up in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, man, there's a lot of firepower there as far as we talk about the brain. So that'll be interesting to see.
Talk about how important Dwayne Lever, who's the offensive line coach and running back coordinator, but his group, the offensive line, is now, because I think they become the most important people in the building.
Well, yeah, of course. Listen, I say this all the time. You know, show me a shaky offensive line, and I'll show you a team that, oh, if they do make the playoffs, where are they going to go? And, you know, usually when you look at it every single year, and when you get to the final eight, you see offensive lines that are better than average, just put it that way. And a lot of times it's the best offensive lines in football. To say, yeah, anytime you have a drop-back quarterback like Kirk, even though he can, like I said, he really can hang in there and throw the ball with power down the field, even as he's getting hit. But, yeah, the offensive line is always very important for all teams, and it sure will be for Atlanta, too.
Do you care at all when you see the money? Because, look, there's three things down here. Four things. He's old, he's broken, it's too much money, and he's never won. So those are the things. If you put him on a list, and that's what people want to bang on, what are your thoughts on the money when it comes to how
Okay, here's what I say about the money to all the fans. Don't worry about it. It's not your money. And what the hell do you and we know about this salary cap and how it could be all that? So I really very seldom talk about the money because I don't care. You know, whatever they paid him, I know I saw the numbers. He's worth it, okay? That's what it is. You want a quarterback that can change your football team. He's the guy that can change it faster than anybody. And he's old. Well, I don't know about that. I've watched him play these last couple years extremely close. And I think he's actually gotten better. And I thought he was better in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connor than I remember seeing him down even in Washington. So he's not broken. I know he's coming off the injury, but my thought would be he's going to be 100%. And, again, like I said, I could be wrong. I don't think I am. I think he's going to change the team big time. And Atlanta – I even heard people on TV yesterday and today already talking about how it's going to be so much better and that. So I'm not the only one that feels that way. A lot of people in the media that follow this really close believe the same thing, too.
Phil Simms from CBS with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. We thought for a while it was going to be Belichick coming down here. Obviously, it's Raheem Morris getting another chance. And your thoughts on him getting that second chance with the Falcons?
Well, I think it's a good one. Raheem Morris, you know, he was put in an unbelievably bad situation with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and actually did better than I think a lot of coaches could do. But being where he was, being part of a Super Bowl winner, and just growing as a coach, as you know, you get better, I think. I would think coaches, the more they stay in the league, the smarter they get, the more diverse they can be. And, I think it was a great hire getting Raheem. And Zach Robinson running that style of offense, like I said, they had out there, it makes the transition for Kirk Cousins much quicker and easier, and you put them together. I expect, you know, this offense for the Atlanta Falcons, with the talent, I expect it to be really good. My expectations have gone up tremendously knowing who they got. Drake London, they get Darnell Mooney. Kyle Pitts, will this change his career? And, of course, the running back situation is – it's awesome. So
it's not an out
there, and we'll see.
It's not an out, but you play the position. Here's what I said about Kyle Pitts. Again, we're just going to lay it on the line. I don't know if he thought at times being a third option, he was going to get the football. I don't think he ran routes as hard as he should have or could have. I don't know if he's still injured. I have no idea. What's supposed to happen? They joked already about the number. That's a good sign. But what's supposed to happen in terms of a wide receiver now? I don't know, maybe being at attention a little bit more during the course of the week because the quarterback play is better.
Well, it's going to be different, you know, as far as when you look at these receivers and stuff like that, you know, because if you saw the, what was it called, the quarterback show or whatever that Peyton and them did, I mean, when you see Kirk Cousins and what you saw, how prepared and how hard he worked at it and what information he was giving by the coaches, which he translated with ease to the players and could handle maybe more than anybody I saw in the NFL at the quarterback position. And I don't think that's an overstatement at all. I mean, it's like, here's two plays, and the wording is extremely long, and I've never seen anything like it. Kevin O'Connell and Kirk Cousins would be talking, you know, and sign language and everything all the time. I mean, they used up that whole clock as far as long as the head coach or the play caller can talk to the quarterback. He did a great job of making the right decisions. I know Minnesota. I know Kevin O'Connell. I'm going to say he's got to be unbelievably disappointed the fact that Kirk Cousins is not going to be his quarterback. But Kyle Pitts, let me get to that. When you're a tight end and you have those running backs, you have a solid offensive line. We got a good quarterback. Now we got a receiver, Darnell Mooney, with great speed outside with Drake London. He should be borderline a star. That's what we expected when he came out of college, and I still hold that thought that he's got to be one of the premier tight ends in the NFL. And I watched enough Atlanta football to say this, and not to be mean, but it was disappointing watching him. And if he thinks he's the third option and he doesn't go 100%, that tells me a lot. That's got to stop, like, right now. And new coaching, a new quarterback, and just a different way of delivering these messages. If that doesn't wake him up, and if that doesn't get it done, then you know,
it's a bad pick. Oh, it's a bad pick. It turns into a bad pick if this doesn't.
Yeah, well, it does. It turns into a bad pick. You know, you want him in the position now where he's looking for big money and getting, you know, all those things that come after what, 3 years in the league. And I haven't read much about it or looked at it, but he's got to prove himself and be more of a factor in games. If nothing else, you got to be good enough, and then sooner or later you become a decoy a little bit that helps the other guys too. And we're seeing the NFL, the new position where we're seeing truly greatness is tight ends. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, it's like every year I'm just going, oh my God, first and second, third year guys, all these ones coming out of college, they're truly pro ready. They're most of them average blockers, but really good receivers. I mean, I hate to put them all in that little category, but it's true.
Phil Simms with us from CBS on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. We brought him up earlier. Are you surprised Bill Belichick isn't coaching this year?
Sure I am. Yes, very surprised. But I think when I saw that he really, the Atlanta situation, and the second interview, I went, ooh, boy, you know, and of course people were saying it, and that caught my attention too, that this is not going to be the slam dunk I thought it was going to be. So, you know, Bill Belichick has done it his way, and that's he runs the organization and the football program, and maybe that wasn't a match for the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know, but I think he's in a tough situation to think you sit out a year, and then there's going to be jobs and people coming after you next year with the age and everything else. It'll be interesting to see. I hope he has one more chance to get back and be a head coach because, look, I spent 13 years with Bill Belichick with the New York Giants. I think it was 13, somewhere around there, 12, 13, I don't know. But I'm not going to say we were ever close, but we had a pretty good connection. I believed in him. And, you know, his work ethic, you know, Nick and Chris, all I can say is it's unbelievable. He never gets tired of this of the routine. And I did like 90 Patriot games when I was announcing games out there. So I watched them a lot, and I always – other coaches would ask me stuff about Bill Belichick. I said, listen, I'll tell you this. I'm just going to be honest, coach. They have the greatest Friday practices of any team I ever go to, that I've ever gone to. And, you know, that kind of would rile a few coaches. I quit saying it after a while because what do you mean? We are practicing. I just go, they get 20 more plays in than you guys are getting in. And I said, I'm just telling you the truth, you know. And so that's who they were, and it's, you know, of course, he was a big part of the reason why they won so many games and Super Bowls, of course.
More than any other head coach, would he be the guy, the infamous, you give him yours, he'll beat you every time? Like if you just flip
I would say that's a good one, yes. Yeah. I never looked at the Patriots these last couple of years. The one thing I would notice when I watched them, wow, they're slow. I mean, they're slow. By NFL standards, you just go, this is unbelievable, you know. But even with that, their defense had moments where they played spectacular, not spectacular, but close to it last year. But the offense, just the quarterback, you know, and I'm not a big guy. Let's look at the quarterback first and only. But it was the quarterback was one thing. And then just the lack of playmakers was huge when you watch them play. It was like a scoring drive watching it. You know, the day after, which I do on film or whatever, I just go, it's torture. I mean, it's amazing how many plays they had to make and this and just to get down and score. So
people don't know this, though. You've worked with a lot of high school, very highly recruited guys, college guys. You've been around pro guys. You get phone calls. You don't need to talk about it. You get phone calls about pro guys. Hey, can you take a look at our guy? I know for a fact that happens. What about personality? Because you and I had a conversation about this draft class. What do you think is really supposed to be in play when you talk about the personality of a 22-year-old who you're going to ask to go into a man's world?
Well, that's a good point. It's hard to, you know, I think I'll say this, Chris. It's hard to show your true personality as a rookie quarterback early until you establish yourself a little and the guys start going, hey, this guy's the man. And then you can be who you really are. And that's all you can kind of ask for guys. And, you know, I talk about personality all the time about quarterbacks. You know, and I don't mean it directly this way, but damn, can I just see you talk to somebody on the field? Can you yell at somebody as you're losing 20-0 and you're getting hit or you whatever? just show me something. Show me that there's a reaction to you that shows everybody you care. And I tell you, and I say this all the time, the quarterback is an unbelievably powerful position in the organization now more than ever. And, of course, you guys know that. Everybody knows this. But you have a chance to have a great effect on the whole team, and especially the offensive side. And if you don't take advantage of that, then you're just hurting yourself with getting less opportunities and having a harder time if you don't do that.
So can you tell the story you told me? Bart Oates was catching it from Bill Parcells one day, but then all of a sudden you caught what was unfriendly fire.
Well, we're having a rough practice. And, I mean, you know, back then, and I hate to do that back then, but it's just true. Back then, practice was brutal. And even for me, I didn't get hit, but damn, you know, guys would be around you, hitting you or pushing you. And, you know, I'm throwing an interception. I miss a guy, and, you know, and Parcells stops the practice, and he is just killing the offensive line. And I'm standing behind him. I'm going, yeah, get him, Bill. Hot dang. You know, I'm not saying it out loud, but I'm going, yeah, it's about time somebody just. And then he gets done killing him. He turns around, looks at me, and Sims, it's your fault. And I can't tell you exactly what I said, but I said, of course it is. What else, you know, Bill? And I said, he goes, no, you used to lead them, Sims, but now you're their buddy. Oh, your friends. I said, take him out to dinner again. How's that working out for you during the games? You know, buy him some more gifts and all this. And he got done, and it was brutal. And I remember getting my car, driving home, and I started thinking about it. I said, damn Parcells, he's right again. He's right. I kind of eased, not eased up. I don't mean it that way, but, you got to make the offensive line. You got to be able to talk to them openly and freely, in my opinion, and really give your opinion to what you think is going on. And to Bart Oates, who was my center, I would go sit on the bench after some, you know, series were out there, and I would just be killing Bart. I can't throw it. And he goes, well, it's not my guy, Phil. And I said, Bart, I don't care. Fix it. I don't have time to talk to everybody. And he goes, okay. And I look back and I laugh about all this because it's a wonder somebody didn't punch me in the face. You know, shut up, you know. But that it was my job to lead maybe the group or whatever we just talked about. But also it was Bart, the center. That's why centers are so important to teams, to communicate and be the leader of that group. I was fortunate to have a couple of those guys.
And you're right, though. You talk about practices and padded practices, everything being different. How are you able to do that as a coach, as a quarterback, as a team today, knowing that you just don't have a lot of opportunities to get that done on the practice field?
Well, I hear so many teams never put pads on or anything during the season, which I know it to be true and all that. And, there is something about practicing hard, I think, and having the pads on. It just it makes you tougher. There's no doubt. And even our running game in practice, it's not that they tackle them to the ground, but they should have just gone ahead and taken them to the ground. Because the hitting, I just go, oh, my God, it's Wednesday, and they're hitting full speed. I just would go, God, I'm glad I'm a quarterback. And, but all that physical part did make you tougher. And, you know, it's like running the football. You got to run it a certain amount just to keep your guys physical and attacking and not always on retreat when you talk about the offensive line. So, yeah, it's harder now with the padded practices not being there. But – I just know this. It was rough and the whole time I was in the NFL. Practice was real. The pads were on. I don't know if I ever had one practice in 8 years with Bill Parcells where only on Fridays he would do this. He'd go, men, you can take the pads out of your pants. Oh, Bill, you're so great to us. Wouldn't take your shoulder pads off or we're going to do this. No, it was full pads every day in training camp. And his idea of giving us a break, take the pads out of your pants. But listen, that's the way the league was then. It's different now. I know that. And I don't try to correlate the two. But it kind of shows you why some of the teams back there was a group about six or eight, were always in it because I think they were the toughest too.
All right. Talk to people about, you're not a finished product as a young player at any position, but certainly at a quarterback. But we think that's personality, becoming a leader. You told me something really interesting about arm strength and how you believe arm strength not only needs to be worked on, it can be worked on and you can get better. Tell Nick and everybody what you told me when you picked up a football at 55 years old.
Well, I tell this story a lot, and, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, you can't change a quarterback's motion. I said, that's the biggest bull crap there is out there. I mean, hundreds. My son works with probably close to 100 kids a week. And, yeah, you know, the arm strength, can you change it? 100%. It's like telling a golfer, well, no matter what you do, you can't hit the golf ball farther. Well, sure he can. With better technique, right technique, and, you know, being in shape, being whatever, and all that stuff, of course you can do it. And it's really easy to fix, especially, as I told you, Chris, with pros. Because pros are an elite group of guys, you know, the quarterbacks, and all you got to do is show them something, and they, you know, and all of a sudden they go like this, and I just go, yeah, just like that. Because they can mimic almost right away. They just got to be shown some, you know, different things. And my story is this. When I was 55, I was over in an indoor facility, and there was about 8 quarterbacks there, all either really big-time high school guys, and I think 3 or 4 of them were major college football players or quarterbacks. And we're just kind of killing some time waiting, you know, everybody's kind of moving around. And so I start throwing. Long story short, after about 5 minutes of throwing, my son turns to me, my young son, Matt, and he goes, damn, big guy, what are you? I go, what? He goes, you're throwing the ball so hard and this and that. And I just go, isn't this terrible? I can throw the ball better now at 55 than I ever did in my career. And why was that? Because I'd been teaching for 15 years. All off season to everybody, to high school kids. I had a few pros, a lot of college kids and all that. And I taught myself more. I just go, damn. Then I would look back and go, oh, that pass I threw that I really liked against whatever team. And I look at it and go, God, I'm doing exactly what I'm teaching now, but I didn't do that very often when I was playing.
Do you remember, do you remember throws? Miss this one, made that one. And the misses stick out a little bit more than the makes.
Yeah, the misses are all, hey, listen, I sit around and people go, oh, good, congratulations. You were part of 2 Super Bowl teams. Yeah, and I always, this is true, Nick and Chris, I mean this too. I go, yeah, but what really bothers me, the ones that we let get away. And, you know, that's what, you know, at 88, we didn't make the playoffs because we lost the Jets the last year of the game. And we were kind of rolling on the offensive side and it was there. And we let the Jets return a damn kick at the end of the game, and they scored and beat us. That one in an 89, we lost to the Rams. The Flipper Anderson catch where he catches it, runs through the end, you know, the game is over. And that one hurts, too, because that was probably my worst playoff game, you know, in my career. And it was there, but I was Mr. Careful that day. Oh, God, don't be careful. And, you know, that's a tough way to play when you're trying not to make a mistake.
What bothers you more when you look at film, a guy who's too careful or a guy who's too reckless?
I would say probably the guy that's too careful. You know, it's close. Because being reckless, that's hard to be reckless all the time and survive and win a lot of games. But, you know, which I can always tell when I'm watching, the quarterbacks are such scrutiny now that there's no way you can be playing the game and somewhere along the line of the game going, wow, my stats or I'm just not having the day and this and, or, you know, being careful. Don't make a turnover. You can't turn the ball over. Well, then you won't make many plays either. You know, you got to take some chances in the league. And I can tell sometimes during the game, when a quarterback is struggling, and I'll see him look up at the scoreboard, and I know what they're doing. They're checking out the stats and everything, and all of a sudden, hey, they're going to fix it. They're going to throw about 5 short passes, and all of a sudden, stats look better. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little, but every Monday morning, we got to hear the stats of the quarterbacks. He threw 4 touchdowns for 310 yards, but he did throw an interception. Oh, sorry. As Bill Parcells said to me in 1984, my career was on the line and so was his with the Giants. I'm walking out of the locker room for the opening game of the year against the Eagles. And as I walk out, he never stood outside. You know, he didn't. He's just not the big speech guy and all that. And as I opened the door, there he was. He goes, "Hey, Sims, if you don't throw at least two interceptions today, you're not taking enough chances, so let the damn thing go." And, you know, my response is, well, I can take care of the interception part. That's easy. But, you know, but that was his way of trying to free you up and be aggressive or whatever and take it to the edge. That's when you are great in all areas, when you play right to the edge, where you know if you do a little more, you're going to be out of control. But the best place to be is right to that edge. Like, there's the clip. I'm not going to fall over, but damn, I'm looking down. Because I'm playing the game the way, you know, you're taught to be aggressive, to be smart, and to make plays. And the only way you can make a lot of plays sometimes is to be aggressive, that's for sure.
And we'll see if Kirk Cousins is that guy with the Falcons when all is said and done.
He is. That is, he is not Johnny Checkdown. He's not. He will throw it down the field, and he is not afraid. He throws a lot of, gets a lot of completions with very contested throws where the coverage is tight. But to him, it might be covered by other quarterbacks, but to him it's not, because he knows he's going to put the football right where he wants it. And, you know, I always say great decision makers are guys that have great control of the ball because they see it, they believe it, and they complete it. That's what happens. But that's Kirk Cousins. So I'm definitely not going to sell him short. I've watched him a lot in his career down in Washington. And, you know, these last 2 years or year and a half up in Minnesota, really just, it went to another level with me. Yeah. Well, he lost to the Giants in the playoffs. Oh, my God. Did you see how he played in that game? He wasn't good. He was great. I love this. We always attach the record straightly to the quarterback. And, you know, sometimes you can be 20 and 25 as a starting quarterback and be playing great, but you can't overcome the whole team or whatever, really bad coaching or whatever you want to say. So, and that's kind of Kirk Cousins. He's played really well in his career, but it just hasn't translated into enough playoff wins, a Super Bowl appearance, and all those things. But I think he's in a good spot. I think he has a chance to shine in Atlanta. I really do. And in fact, I'll be disappointed or surprised if it doesn't work really well. And he's got a couple years in him, and we'll see if Atlanta, what they can do with these couple years.
Well, Phil, we promised you extended time. You got 27 minutes of great stuff. We always appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
Well, I was very nice today. I didn't, you know, so whatever. I was trying to be.
Listen, the next time when we call you back,
you can get rip everybody to shreds. Yeah,
you can absolutely go full blowtorch mode. Well, I look forward to it.
I do like doing that because, you know, I've just learned that the only way sometimes you can get the message out. You just got to lay it out and, which, as I get older, how much longer do I got to wait? But I do like giving my opinion and being very honest. Yeah, just like all these quarterbacks coming out, I said, look, this doesn't make me feel better, but you're overvaluing this guy or whatever. Or the opposite I hear, and I say, no, I've watched just about everything with him. Just real quick, Caleb Williams, let me tell you something. Watching him in games and watching him throw and what he does, it's about as good as I've ever seen for a quarterback coming out. In fact, I think he caught my attention more. Now, this is – let's take it in context here real quick. I watched Patrick Mahomes a lot on the year he was coming out. And I was like – I'm going to be honest. I was like, damn, is this going to work in the NFL? Can he do this? I don't know. You know, whatever. And but I was still impressed with the throwing and everything. Caleb Williams, it's every bit as exciting and dynamic and like, oh, my God, that throw is ridiculous. Oh, my God. I mean, that's – hell, if I had written down what I was saying, I'd have wrote, oh, my God, like 100 times watching his games. So
we will do this. How about pre-draft? We'll have the list of quarterbacks, and you play the yay or nay – and you can get as nasty as you want. Like, we'll talk about.
Or it's complimentary, either way.
Yeah, either way. But nasty as you want. We'll talk about.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, we'll talk about fingernails being painted, crying in the stands. We'll talk about, I promise, we'll talk about all that stuff.
Hey, when you play well, I don't care if you paint your toes, your fingernails, and you wear makeup. I don't care. Just throw the ball to the open guy. Let's get it done. So I know. I knew that was coming up, but that's good.
All right.
But,
so,
yeah, I can do that. I can do them all the way down the line. I mean, I'm probably going to do about 20 quarterbacks. And I love picking out the later round guys. In other words, when it gets to the fifth round, to me, I know you guys got to – I'm killing your time. I don't care right now. But when you get to that – when you get to that fifth round, like I watched Joe Milton of Tennessee, and, you know, there's no great talk about him or whatever, but he, to me, he's the guy you draft late, fifth, sixth, seventh, or free, whatever it is, because one, he has size. It's NFL big-time size. He has NFL mobility, and he has a arm that's just ridiculous when we talk about strength. And I know it's more than strength. It's accuracy. And I was surprised when I watched. He was more active than I expected. I thought he played the position better than I expected. But I'm giving you things that give you a chance to succeed in the NFL. Size, mobility, arm. Now, the rest, I have no clue. Is he smart enough or whatever? Is he gonna? But guys like that are worth taking a chance on late in the NFL draft. So maybe you get a backup and maybe one day, you know, maybe a starter. It's hard to climb that totem pole that way. But you can get a guy that you can feel good about. If your starter gets hurt and you get him ready, that he can be an explosive person. So he's just one that comes to my mind right away.
Solid tease for the Phil Simms draft preview when he joins us the next time. Phil, thanks for the time. We'll talk
soon. Guys. Sorry it took so long, but yeah, look forward to talking to you before the draft.
Thanks,
all right.
Phil. All good. Good stuff. Phil Simms from CBS with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker Live.
He's back in the fold, friend of the show.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Hey, Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.